A global superstar posts on Instagram about a book that saved her during her darkest hour. Within weeks, millions reach for the same slim volume, desperate for the same lifeline. What makes Matt Haig's collection of fragmentary thoughts so magnetic isn't revolutionary science or ancient wisdom. It's something far simpler and more profound. These are notes scribbled by someone who wanted to die, written for the future self he wasn't sure would exist. They're survival instructions from the depths, and they work because they don't promise sunshine. They promise only this: you can hold on for one more moment. Picture a newborn in a hospital bassinet. That infant possesses nothing: no achievements, no beauty standards met, no followers, no bank account. Yet that baby lacks nothing. It arrives complete, infinitely valuable, requiring no improvement to justify its existence. This isn't poetic exaggeration. It's the fundamental truth we forget as we grow. We spend decades trying to earn what we already possess. Our culture operates like a relentless improvement machine, grinding out messages that we're insufficient as we are. Productivity gurus promise that the right morning routine will unlock our potential. Fitness influencers suggest our bodies are projects requiring endless optimization. Self-help shelves overflow with instructions for becoming better versions of ourselves. But here's the uncomfortable question: what if we're already enough? What if the frantic chase for self-improvement is actually squeezing out the self-compassion we desperately need? You're not a single film. You're the entire cinema. One screen shows tragedy while another plays comedy. We contain multitudes: joy and sorrow, success and failure, confidence and doubt. Pain isn't brokenness. It reveals our capacity for the full human experience. This matters when we hit bottom. Stripped of external validations, job titles, relationships, social metrics, we discover bedrock. That irreducible core remaining when everything falls away is your foundation. Marcus Aurelius argued that external events don't cause distress, our interpretation does. Shakespeare's Hamlet observes, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." A rainstorm ruins one person's picnic and saves another's drought-stricken crops. Your mind resembles a window. Sometimes the glass is dirty or rain-streaked. Sometimes you're viewing through stained glass that tints everything red. During depression, my window showed a world where I was worthless. The view felt absolutely real, but the window was wrong. Let emotions pour through you like rain. The crucial distinction: you are not the rain. You're the person experiencing the storm. The storm passes. You remain. At 12, lost in a French forest with my father as sunset approached, I learned a crucial navigation principle. After hours walking in circles, water nearly gone, my dad said, "If we keep going in a straight line, we'll get out of here." He taught me to fix my eyes on a distant tree, walk to it, then choose another landmark beyond it. No more circling, just forward momentum. We reached a road before dark. Depression creates that same disorienting forest. You circle the same dark thoughts, convinced there's no way out. But the strategy remains identical: keep moving forward, even when progress feels impossible. When anxiety whispers that you're worthless or depression insists things won't improve, remember these are symptoms speaking, not truth. At 24, I was certain I wouldn't reach 25. Depression is a convincing liar, yet those devastating certainties were false. Consider Juliane Kopke, who at 17 survived a plane crash into the Amazon rainforest. For 11 days, she walked through one of Earth's most hostile environments using knowledge her biologist father had taught her. Knowledge became her compass. Self-awareness becomes ours. Understanding your personal terrain, your triggers, patterns, and resources creates a survival toolkit for navigating mental health crises. Hope doesn't require optimism about the future. It simply requires accepting that tomorrow remains unknowable and that brighter versions exist as possibilities. We always inhabit the present. There's literally nowhere else to be. Even remembering yesterday or imagining tomorrow happens now. But being present often gets confused with constant awareness, which during my deepest depression felt like torture. Each agonizing moment stretched into eternity. I craved mindlessness, not mindfulness. The real challenge isn't just being present, but finding contentment there, accepting our incompleteness, and meeting each moment without agenda. Consider eating a pear. I have no idea what the future holds, but right now I'm alive and able to sit on a sofa and eat a pear. Continually searching for life's meaning is like searching for the meaning of toast. Sometimes it's better to just eat the toast. We ruin the present by worrying about the future, burning our most treasured possession because we might someday lose things we don't even own yet. Try making peanut butter toast as a mindful ritual. Toast bread, spread peanut butter deliberately, then sit somewhere comfortable. Before eating, acknowledge the wonder of being sentient enough to enjoy this simple pleasure. Close your eyes for the first bite and let worries float away. Conscious breathing quiets mental noise. Each breath reminds you, I'm here. I'm alive. This moment is enough. Be curious. Go outside. Get to bed on time. Hydrate. Breathe deeply. Eat well. Get a routine loose enough to live in. Be kind. Accept that not everyone will like you. Appreciate those who do. Don't be defined. Allow mistakes. Want what you already have. Learn to say no to things that diminish life and yes to things that enhance it. No is a complete sentence that keeps you sane. No to working for free, to unwanted obligations, to conforming to others' expectations. In an age of overload, no actually means yes. Yes to having the space you need to live. I once felt crushing pressure not to disappoint people. I stayed in work I hated, attended parties I dreaded, conversed with people I found agonizing. Then my mind exploded. After which I realized, it's better to let people down than to blow yourself up. If you aim to be something you're not, you will always fail. Aim to be you. Embrace your you-ness. Much of gossip is disguised envy. Much of self-doubt is disguised conformity. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." Being yourself isn't something you have to do. You were born yourself without even trying. You can't try to be. You can only let yourself be. Somewhere Over the Rainbow, written in 1939 by two Jewish musicians who had known suffering, became one of history's most hopeful songs. Hope doesn't require good circumstances, only understanding that things will change. It isn't happiness. It's accepting the unknowability of the future and that better versions could exist. Uncertainty causes anxiety, but it's also anxiety's solution. While everything remains uncertain, everything remains possible. We exist on a spinning coin, unable to predict how it will land, but free to enjoy its shine as it spins. The hardest question I've been asked, how do I stay alive for other people if I have no one? The answer? Stay alive for other versions of you. Stay for the person you will become. You are more than a bad day, week, or decade. Nothing is stronger than a small hope that doesn't give up. One of the quickest routes to happiness is making someone else happy. Acts of kindness trigger oxytocin and endorphins, creating a helper's high. Here's a beautiful paradox. One of the most common feelings people share is not belonging. Up to 70% of people experience imposter syndrome. We feel most connected to others precisely when we feel awkward and alone. The gold-saddled goatfish survives predators by swimming together in a fish-shaped formation. The purple saxifrage thrives in Arctic temperatures by clustering together. Nature teaches us survival comes through unity. Albert Camus said, "There is no love of life without despair of life." I initially dismissed this as pretentious, but age proved it true. My love of life stems from despair. I'm grateful for better times, having known terrible ones. But there's deeper truth. Pleasure and despair exist within the same whole. They're companions, not opposites. Rollo May argued we misidentify opposites. Hate is not the opposite of love. apathy is. The truly courageous experience fear and move through it. Most illuminating, joy and despair are compatible. Joy is the experience of possibility, the consciousness of one's freedom as one confronts one's destiny. In this sense, despair can lead to joy. Opposites depend on each other to exist. In Taoist philosophy, yin and yang are interdependent. Day needs night. Tintoretto's shadows accentuate light. Maya Angelou's childhood silence led to her determination to use her voice. We instinctively run from negative feelings, treating sadness as a problem requiring immediate solutions. During depression, I was depressed about feeling depressed, anxious about feeling anxious, multiplying my suffering. Recovery paradoxically required acceptance. When I stopped freezing in terror and melted into acceptance, the panic passed through. Everything connects. All of life exists within us, fear to calm, hope to hopelessness. We are never only one thing. Nothing truly ends. It changes. The comfort isn't that pain will disappear, but that you're vast enough to hold it alongside everything else. The pair you're eating, the breath you're taking, the small hope that refuses to give up.